We can look to the blood. When we do, it's a reminder to us that our sins have been covered by that blood. Amen? I'm glad we'll never have to give an account if we've put them under the blood. If we've asked Christ to save us, forgive us of our sins, then they're under the blood. I like what somebody said. They said when the Lord, the Bible says He cast our sin in the depths of the deepest sea, and then He put a sign up that said, no fishing, no fishing. Tonight, I want to look at a very familiar story, so for sake of time, we'll not read all of the passage. We will be coming back, going through some of it. I want you to look with me, Judges chapter 16, and we'll look at one verse just as we get started for a springboard, and it'll be our main text tonight. Judges 16, look with me tonight at verse number 21. If you're there with me, say amen. Amen. The Bible says here, but the Philistines took him being Samson, of course, put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza, bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Let's pray. Father, we do love you tonight. We thank you so much for loving us. Lord, thank you for the great message we heard this morning. Thank you for how you worked in the service, spoke to hearts, Lord, met needs, saved souls. We're so grateful for what you did. Lord, we just ask you once again to meet with us. We pray you'd roam up and down these aisles, Lord, that you would, Holy Spirit of God, thou art invited in this place, and we ask you to do what man cannot do, and that is convict sinners of sin, convict saints of sin. Help us to all draw closer to thee, we pray. I pray you'd cleanse me of my sin, empty me of self. Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Help me to preach what thus saith the Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Most of us like things. We live in a world where we like things that are big. I mean, I've got four boys, and all of them, you know, they want to have the biggest truck. Now, I'm learning this, especially this week. I've been driving Tyler's car some, that even Carter has a bigger truck than he has. Carter's got one of the little green, you know, Jeeps, and it's been now, but that car is a neat little car. But you know, we like things that are big. In my day, and especially in some of your all's days, even more so, but even back in my day some, the ladies wanted to have the biggest hair, right? Some of y'all remember that? You know, the bigger the hair, the better. And most of us, be honest tonight, I know we're humble and all, but if we be honest, you'd like to have the biggest bank account. Amen. At least somebody's honest. How many of you, we're going to be having a fishing tournament soon. You go fishing, you don't want to catch the smallest fish, you want to catch the biggest fish, right? We see folks constantly. It's funny, my buddy Sam, of course we got Eli with us tonight, but we picked him up yesterday, met there at Cracker Barrel in Morristown, and he's all sore. He got a cramp in his leg. Now, I've been lifting weights with his son and, you know, trying to get the biggest muscles. And we like things that are big. Some of you that went to camp, no doubt, we glory sometimes in having the biggest appetite, the food eating contest and all those kinds of things. And we glory in having the biggest appetite we can eat. I'm sure some of you all, Bradley, had a contest who can eat the most cheeseburgers or the most slices of pizza or something like that. And so we like things that are big, and we give out awards for big and biggest. But I want to tell you tonight, bigger is not always better. There's a man in our story tonight by the name of Samson who I believe has earned the recognition of being the biggest. But not in an area that you would want the recognition of being the biggest in. As we take a look at Samson tonight, I want to preach on this thought, the biggest loser. The biggest loser. I wonder how many people tonight would like to have that title. At the end of it all, when you end, that you would have gained the title throughout your life of the biggest loser. Samson was a young man that everyone had such high hopes for. The Lord had destined him for greatness and had given him everything he needed to succeed. Samson had all that it took to really be a winner, but I want to tell you, he turned out a loser. The Lord had blessed him in a mighty way. The Lord wanted to use him in a great and mighty way. And he had set Samson apart for a specific purpose. In fact, if you'll look with me back at chapter 13, you look with me at verse number, starting in verse number 2. Chapter 13. Samson had been set apart for a specific purpose, the Bible says, and there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah. his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold, that now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. And he said unto them, out of the... Turn too many pages there. No, that's it. And he said unto them, out of the eater came forth meat, and ate the strong came forth sweetness. That's still the wrong... I got to get back over here where I'm supposed to be. All right. Now therefore, beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor, look at what he tells him here, no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. And if you look at verse number 24, the Bible says, And the woman bare a son, called his name Samson. The child grew, and the Lord blessed him. Well, you understand, Samson had been set apart for a specific purpose. He had a Nazarite vow on his life. That vow said they couldn't cut their hair. It was a shame for a man to have long hair. And so as a shame and a reproach to the Lord, Samson kept long hair. They weren't to take anything of the vine. They weren't to come into a dead animal or any dead bodies or carcasses. And so the things that he had been set apart and God had a plan for his life, Samson had been chosen by God to be a mighty judge. We know he was a mighty judge over Israel. God had special plans for this man by the name of Samson. Never had there been anyone else, I believe, at that time, especially with so much potential. But can I just stop and say this tonight? There's some great potential in this room right here. I mean, listen, it would behoove you, it would behoove me if we could ever understand and know, even imagine what God could do with the people inside of this building that's seated here tonight. Listen, if God can take two men and turn the world upside down, just imagine what He could do with the people that's here tonight. If you're saved, you've got the Holy Spirit living inside of you. God is your Father. Jesus is your Savior. The Holy Ghost is your Comforter. You have a pastor that loves you. You have a church that cares for you. You have somewhere to come to get help. You got the call of God on your life, because whoever God saves, He's got a calling for them. It's something that He wants you to do. And there's a call of God on your life to do the work of God. You've been set apart for a specific task and a special purpose. God has big plans for you. You need to understand that. You say, well, I know God has plans for you, Pastor, and I know God has plans for those missionaries that come, and I know that He had plans for Brother Gwen and has plans for him when he preached this morning, and I know He has plans for the Sunday school teacher, and He has plans for the bus worker, but God doesn't have any plans for me. Oh, yeah, He's got plans for you. You see, you've been set apart for a specific task and a specific purpose. I want to tell you something. You have everything that you need to be a success. You have everything you need to be a winner. I want to say tonight, you don't have to wind up a loser. When you look at the opportunities that had been given to Samson, he had so much going for him. Samson was freakishly strong. One of the things I love about him, he had popularity and respect. Look with me back at chapter 16, verse number 1 of chapter 16. Then went Samson to Gaza, and saw there a harlot, went in unto her, and it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson's come hither, and they compassed him in, and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city, and were quiet all the night, saying, in the morning, when it is day, we shall kill him. So they're laying in wait. They want to kill Samson. Watch verse number 3. And Samson lay till midnight, and arose at midnight, watch this, and took the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts, went away with them, bar and all, put them on his shoulders and carried them up to the top of the hill before Hebron. Now, I got to tell you something. It was over 20 miles from Gaza to Hebron. Can you imagine Samson as he's carrying those gates and he's carrying those bars and he's carrying those posts up the hill, and away they think, man, when they wake up in the morning, they're not going to have a clue what in the world took place, and he's laughing. Can you imagine as he's carrying those gates? He was freakishly strong. Samson killed 30 Philistines with his bare hand. Samson, he kills a lion with his bare hands. He killed over 1,000 Philistines with a jawbone of a donkey, and the Lord had given him great strength. Catches 300 foxes and ties their tails together and sends them out, sets them on fire. Samson had great strength. Here was a man, listen, that God had destined for greatness. Samson could have been and should have been a winner. But I want to tell you something. Samson had a problem with sin. Can I just say tonight on the onset of the message that I am so tired of watching so many good people be destroyed by sin? I'm so tired of watching those with such potential, those who have greatness that God has thrust upon them and that is carrying something very, very sacred, yet they're destroyed by sin. Samson had a problem with sin. He had a lust for the wrong kinds of things, and because he did, it eventually ruined his life. It made a loser out of him. Young people, you listen to me tonight. The world, everything you heard at camp, everything you said, and everything Brother Baldwin tried to instill in you was exactly right. And I'll tell you something, the world tries to paint sin up to something that it's not. Hollywood tries to paint sin up to something that it's not. And you see the beer commercials there, and you got the hot babe there, and she's the volleyball net. And then there's the guy, and he's got a six-pack kind of like me tonight, you know, your preacher. And there he is, and they got very little clothes on, you know. At least I do have clothes on. But and they got the beer, and it's there, and it's just oozing down with the water on the outside. It looks so inviting. But let me tell you tonight what they don't show you. What they don't show you is that same young lady at about 2 in the morning puking her guts up with alcohol poison or laying out being compromised because she's too drunk to defend herself against somebody trying to do something to her. Let me tell you what they don't show you. They don't show you that same young man that's out there at the volleyball court and all the beer commercials and all that. They don't show you him after he's driving down the road. They don't show you the little mama and the little kid that was ran over and killed by that drunk driver later on. That's the part that they don't show you. Oh, they want to paint it up as something nice and something appealing and something pretty. I want to tell you something. All the devil's apples have worms. Try to paint sex up as cool, premarital sex up as cool and something that just everybody's doing and you're not in the in crowd if you're not doing that kind of thing. You say, listen, preacher, these are church kids and these are preteen and teenagers. Listen to me tonight. In a world where 3 out of 4 teenagers are... Listen, I'm talking about graduating without their virginity in a world tonight where more than ever 7th and 8th graders are smoking marijuana and trying drugs. In a world, as was mentioned this morning, where suicides are running rampant beyond our young people. In a world, listen, where over 25% of 15-year-olds have had sex before they turn 15. Can I tell you something? This is right where they live. Somebody better be talking about it. Somebody better be warning them besides, listen to me, the pagan school system, and I'm talking about the professors that they're going to get at college full of liberalism. Somebody better tell them the truth. This is what the devil wants you to believe, and he paints sin up as something pretty. They need somebody to tell them the truth. God help us to not cater to that mess. You see, God had a great life plan for Samson. But despite all of it, Samson ended up a loser. And I believe he was the biggest loser. Watch this. Not only because his fall was so great, but I believe he was the biggest loser because Samson had so much to lose. Young people, let me tell you something. You'll know why the devil comes at you so hard. You will know why the devil attacks you so much. You'll know why so the temptation is there and it's so strong. It's because you have something that's worth something. Hey, you want to know something? You watch football, you'll know who they're chasing. They're all chasing the one that's carrying the ball. You'll know why they're carrying something. Something that's important. Can I just tell you tonight, young person, your spiritual heritage, it's precious. Can I tell you tonight, your sexual purity, it's precious. The special plan that God has for you tonight is something that's precious. That spotless testimony that you have, it's precious. You have so much to lose. I want to look tonight at the life of Samson and see how it is that we can help from becoming the biggest loser. You see, the demise of Samson was a result of sin. It was a result of worldliness. He went to places of the world. You look at the text, you'll find out he went to Philistia. We know that was a place of the world and worldliness. Can I say to you, James 4:4 still tells us that the friendship of the world is enmity with God. That therefore, those who be a friend of the world cannot be a friend of God. It's still against God. Not only to go to the places of the world, he fellowshiped with people of the world, the Philistines. He engaged in pleasures of the world, Delilah. And there are so many people I've seen who's had so much potential, yet they've went down this same path as Samson. I could tell you so many stories. No doubt Pastor Gwen could tell you so many stories, and many others, so many stories tonight of folks who had so much potential, yet they went down this same path, and they wound up a loser. I want to see tonight how it is that Samson earns the recognition, the biggest loser. I want you to notice with me tonight as we begin to look at our text in chapter 16, we'll look again, verse number 21. Notice, first of all, that some things he lost. Notice he lost his power. Samson lost his power. Look what the Bible says, verse 21. But the Philistines, watch this, took him. But the Philistines took him. You see, what happens tonight is when you keep flirting with sin and you keep flirting with sin and you keep toying with sin, watch this, you finally get to the place in your life where you cannot say no to sin. Samson, listen, before all this, sin finally binds you up and you lose that ability. Before all this, Samson, he couldn't be taken by the Philistines. He had supernatural power that bind him up, and he'd break the bands that bind him up, and he'd break the bands, but he kept playing with sin and playing with sin till finally he was too weak to say no to sin. Look with me at verse number 7. Bible says here in chapter 16, verse number 7. And Samson said unto her, if they bind me, of course Delilah is asking him, where's your great strength lie? If they bind me with 7 green withs that were never dry, then shall I be weak and be as any other man. Then the Lord of the Philistines brought up to her 7 green withs which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Now there were men lying in wait. The devil always has men lying in wait, hiding with her in the chamber. And she said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. Break the whist as the thread of tow is broken when it toucheth the flyer. So his strength was not known. Now watch this. It looks like Samson got away with playing with sin. Boy, he got away with toying with sin. I mean, he broke the bands that bound him up, but he got out of it. I want you to look with me at verse number 12. This is telling, this right here, preached for about 3 hours, what I'm about to show you in verse 12. Delilah, therefore, watch these words, took new robes. Can I tell you tonight what the devil does? He always has new robes. He always has some new sin. Some other way, if he can't get you this way, he'll get you some other way. Oh, yes, but she took new robes. Well, that didn't work. You know, the Bible says when Satan tempted the Lord Jesus, at the end of that 3 times tempting him, it says, and then he departed from him. What does it say? For a little season. For a little season. Oh, he's coming back. He's coming back. And he took, watch this, new ropes. Delilah took new ropes, bound him therewith, and said unto him, Philistines be upon thee, Samson. There were liars in wait abiding in the chamber, and he brake them from off his arms like a thread. And the tragedy is, of course, she begins to cry and pout and pull at Samson's heartstrings. Look with me at verse number 16 and 17. It came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart. Can I tell you tonight, the devil knows exactly how to get you. He knows all he wants to do, and all he has to do is get you to play the game. All he has to do is to get you to play along and to get you to start down the path of sin. Can I say to you tonight, every single alcoholic started with one drink. Every pill popper started with one pill. Every dope addict started with one puff. Every single pornography addict started with one look. But I'll tell you tonight, he just wants to get you to play the game. If you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of you. You have the power to say no to sin. I love it. Paul says that sin hath no more dominion over you. He said, reckon ye yourselves to be dead unto sin and alive unto Christ. You know, one of the greatest realizations to me was when I realized and recognized that now I have a new nature. I don't have to sin. I don't have to live in sin, because before I was just a sinner. I had a sin nature. That's all I could do. Thank God, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And now I can choose whether or not I'm going to live in the spirit or whether or not I'm going to live in the flesh. It's a choice we make. What happens is we begin to toy with sin. We begin to play with sin and flirt with sin. And finally, you become so weak because you're not walking with God. You're a spirit. Can I tell you tonight, we got a lot of spiritual weaklings. We got a lot of anemic people that, if you be honest, if something significant, big happened in your life and you got that phone call, you're too weak to handle it. You wouldn't know where to start. I realize things happen that turn our world upside down and put us in shock. I get that. But I'm simply saying to you tonight, listen, we can get ourselves in such a place where we're so spiritually anemic and weak and away from God, we don't even have the power to say no to that sin. Because listen to me, that sin is binding. He took those cords and she began to tie him up. Bind him up. The more and more you yield to sin, gradually you become a slave to sin. It doesn't happen overnight. But you've heard it before, sin will always take you further than you meant to go. It'll keep you longer than you meant to stay. And it'll cost you a lot more than you wanted to pay. As Samson lost his power to serve God, can I tell you, preachers can lose their power for sin, over sin. Sunday school teachers can lose their power. Servants can lose their power. God help us. He lost his power. I got to move on. Notice the second thing. Samson, the biggest loser. Look, he lost his perception. Look what it says in verse number 21. But the Philistines took him, and then watch these words, and put out his eyes. He not only lost his power, but Samson lost his perception. He lost not only his physical sight, and no doubt that had to be very painful indeed. You know what they did back in those days when they would blind someone? They would take, and in this manner anyway, they took a spoon-like object, and they would heat that thing up to where it was red hot. And then they would take it and they would put it in right behind the eyeball and pop the eyeball out, and that spoon was so hot it would sear the blood vessels so the person didn't bleed to death. That's what they did to Samson. Put out his eyes. But listen to me, even worse than that, not only did he lose his physical sight, but he lost his spiritual sight. I want you to look with me. Some of the saddest words, I believe, in all the Bible is recorded right here for us in verse number 20. And she said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." Woke out of his sleep and said, "I'll go out as at other times before and shake myself." Watch these words, underline them. And he wist not, that just means he knew not, that the Lord was departed from him. How many Christians have I seen that have no idea how far they've went away from God? Can I tell you tonight, God's not going to step on your sin or my sin in order to stay with us and bless us and use us and allow us to continue in His work. Oh, thou art of pure eyes and to behold evil, the Bible tells us in Habakkuk. They become so blinded by their sin, they think everything's all right until finally, all of a sudden, they're blindsided by the reality of their sin. Don't you notice something else? Samson became so blinded by his sin, and he became so comfortable in his sin that he literally fell asleep in the devil's lap. Look with me at verse number 18. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of Philistines, saying, "Come up this once, for it showed me all his heart." Then the lord of Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. Look at verse 19. And she made him, watch this, sleep upon her knees. Can I ask you something? When did we get so comfortable with sin? The Bible says that Samson Oh, listen, remember back, we just read it earlier in the chapter, in chapter number 13 especially, and how he was chosen by God and a Nazarite, and God had such special plans. But Samson has lived a life with sin where he's gotten so comfortable with sin that he literally fell asleep. The devil's lap. One of the things that scares me to death as I watch out in the world, but even in the church. Can I just tell you something? I tell my wife sometimes, I'll say, and I don't go into details, so maybe I'll tell Brother Field or I'll tell Brother Jim, I would talk to him, and I'd say, hey, pray for so-and-so. Especially one of our young people. Because as a pastor, don't you understand, I see some things that maybe you don't. Pray for so-and-so. Because they're getting too comfortable with sin. We no longer fear it. Sin ought to scare you absolutely to death. It ought to scare me to death. If God would allow him to, the devil would kill you. It'd kill me too. The only thing between, listen to me, destruction in me and destruction in you is the Lord Jesus Christ. He lost his power. He lost his perception. Notice the third thing he lost. He lost his praise. The Bible says here, took him, put out his eyes, watch this, and brought him down to Gaza. You find out, you read on the text, you find out the Philistines mocked Samson. They brought him down to Gaza and made a fool of him there at Gaza. Samson used to be a celebrity. Oh, if you had time to take and read those three chapters, 13 through 16, you find out that Samson was the coolest dude in town. He picks those gates up and carries them off in the city. Man, every young man wanted to be like Samson. Every young girl wanted to date Samson. He was the stud. He was the man. But now I don't want anything to do with him. Look with me at verse number 25, chapter 16. Came to pass, when their hearts were merry, they brought him down to Gaza. They began to drink, throw a party, make sport of Samson. They said, call for Samson, that he may make us sport. They called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport, and they set him between the pillars. Samson's just entertainment for them. Won't you listen to me tonight, young people and older folks alike. The folks in this world, if they can gain financially, can gain some sort of notoriety, if they can gain in any way, they will sell you out in a second. You listen to me, you better stick with God's crowd. I realize, listen, that we're not perfect, and I know we got some work to do as independent Baptists, and I recognize tonight that we're all a bunch of sinners saved by grace, but can I just say tonight, I'd still rather be an old-time independent Baptist than anything else I know. You better just stick with God's crowd. What a contrast from just a few chapters ago. Samson was the cock of the walk. Samson was the man. He was the talk of the town. Now here he is with no strength. Here he is with no eyes. Here he is with no hair. They've chopped off his hair and he's grinding like an animal as the world laughs at him and mocks him. And that's exactly what sin will do to you. It's exactly where sin will leave you. It'll steal your honor. It'll steal your dignity. It'll make a mockery out of you. How many people have I met that thought they could handle it? Well, it's just a little bit. Well, if I'll just be the designated driver. There's a reason that the Bible says to be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. There's a reason the Bible says to abstain from all appearances of evil. Well, I'll just be the designated. I'll just go hang out. I'm not drink. I'm not going to smoke what they're smoking. I'm not going to talk how they talk. I've seen a lot of people that thought they could handle it. But they're so far away from God now, you couldn't find them with a search warrant. Lost his power, lost his perception, lost his praise. Notice another thing. He lost his privileges. Notice again, verse 21 says he brought him down to Gaza. You see, Samson used to be a free man. Samson would come and go as he pleased. You see it all throughout, man. Samson's going out and he ends up there. Of course, he's sitting there sticking his hand in the lines, getting out the honey and all that. coming into contact with that dead animal. But Samson just come to and fro. Samson was used to being a free man. There was a great freedom when Samson was living for the Lord. But you see, sin, worldliness, and carnality, and disobedience always leads to bondage. Let me tell you a lie from the world and the devil. Listen to me. The world will tell you, and the devil will try to convince you, that that Christian life is nothing but a bunch of rules and regulations. It's nothing but a bunch of bondage. Well, you go down there to that church down there, they're just a bunch of legalists anyway. We don't know what a legalist is, first of all. They're just a bunch of legalists anyway. And you go down there, you won't be able to do anything. It's just a bunch of rules. And the world will tell you, and the devil will tell you, that if you do that, if you serve God, you can't have any freedom. But that's a lie right out of the pit of hell. It's sin that binds you up, friend. Let me ask you something. Do you believe the alcoholic is free? Do you believe the one addicted to pornography is free? Do you believe that drug addict is free? Oh, no. Listen to me. It's sin that leads to bondage and binds you up. Let me tell you something. When I got saved for the first time in my life, I was a free man. Oh, I love John 8:36. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Free from my past and my sin. I like what he said this morning. It's under the blood. And when the devil reminds you about your past, remind him of his future. It's all under the blood. And I'm free, free. Thank God I'm free. I got a new nature. Now I have a choice. I can serve God. I can serve Satan. I think about many times, you know, over there in that passage where the Bible tells us in John 10:9, it says, and of course Jesus there in John 10:9, he's called the door. It says, I am the door. If any man enter in, he shall be saved. Then it says this, and shall go in and out and find pasture. I ain't talking about getting saved and getting lost. Watch this. It said if any man enters in, he'll be saved and go in and out and find pasture. And that sheepfold, just real quick, what they'd have is they'd have a circle of rocks and a small area, the opening, that would be the door. And the shepherd would lay across the door so that no wild animals could get in and harm the sheep. Truly, the shepherd was the door. Jesus said, I am the door. He said, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. You'll be saved from that old world. You'll be saved from that old sin. But then he said this. Now that'd be great. How many people, you've heard of people, and they go into like a witness protection program. Oh, they're saved. Maybe nobody's going to kill them, but they can't do anything. They're in bondage, right? They're in hiding. That's not how Jesus does it. Then he said they shall go in and out and find pasture. You know what Psalms 23 says? Oh, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. They're satisfied, friend. Plenty to eat. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Can I tell you something? There's freedom in Christ Jesus. They'll go in and out and find pasture. Galatians 5:1 says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. I want you to notice the final thing. Samson lost so much. Lost his power. Lost his perception. Lost his praise. He lost his privileges. Notice lastly, he lost his pleasure. The Bible says he did grind. Chapter number 16, verse 21. And he did grind in the prison house. You know, sin, ungodliness, carnality, worldliness, flesh, what do you want to call it? It appears to bring pleasure. And the truth of the matter is tonight, there is some temporal pleasure to be had in the world. If I stood up here and told you tonight that there is no pleasure in sin, I would be lying to you, number one. Number two, I would be contradicting the Word of God. Because the Bible says there is pleasure in sin for a season. But the problem is, friend, seasons change. It's not fun anymore. We're not having a good time anymore. And you listen to me, young people, everything that glitters is not gold. Oh, listen. Boy, you look at Samson at the beginning of it all. He appeared to be having the time of his life. But look at him now. He's grinding like an animal. Look at him now after the effects of sin has taken toll on his body. Look at him now after his eyesight is gone. Look at him now after his freedom is gone. Look at him now after his testimony is gone. Look at Samson now after the joy of life and the joy of living. It's all gone. Do you think that Samson is having a good time now? Lost his pleasure. Can I just say to you tonight, holiness is the way to happiness. Jesus is the way to joy. Samson is the biggest loser. Had so much to lose. God had such great plans, had set Samson up, and I'm reminded tonight, while there are many here, everybody here, God has a plan for your life and you have so much potential. But I'm reminded tonight that there's so many young people. You heard some of them up here. There's others that was not up here, but God has a plan for their life. Something He wants to do. You got so much potential. But I want to tell you, it can be gone like that. It can be gone like that. Because you're going to come to a place in your life when you start just flirting. To see how close to the edge we can come. And that sin's going to get a hold of you. And you won't be able to say no anymore. While we stand for prayer tonight, what about you, young person?